Amen. Thank you very much, Brittany and Kim. Very thankful for that truth, aren't you? Have you ever considered that if the Israelites would have just shed the blood of the lamb but never applied it to the doorpost and lintel, there'd be no passing over. It is the blood applied. It's only effective for those who receive the gift. It's good. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 82. Very thankful for that. Without the blood, there is really no freedom. So, this is one of those psalms that just happened to come up at the right time. It's just one of those, I could have been looking all over. There's nothing more to proclaim than that is proclaimed here concerning the righteous judgment of God. The Bible says, a psalm of Asaph, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus applied. Certainly, thank you for the free gift and the fact that he died for us. But most importantly, when we cried out for the free gift, you put his blood on our account. You cleansed us from all unrighteousness. God, thank you so much for that. Thank you for the fact of this truth that we read here in this psalm, that all the nations are going to be your inheritance. Therefore, we need to look and at your justice and your righteousness. God, I pray that today we would be moved in our hearts toward you, that we would consider the things from your word that we will hear, and that we would be changed by them. Lord, use this time in your word to help us. Give me unction and clarity. And for those who may be desperately searching for something right today, I pray that they would see you as they've never seen you before. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This psalm addresses a long-standing, probably ever since the moment sin entered into the world, a long-standing problem in human society. While the psalm condemns the actions, offers solutions, and issues warnings, there's also a reality addressed here. And the reality is for us who are looking for the right kind of judgment. In just a couple of days, July 4th, there's a lot of days in the signing of the Declaration of Independence, but July 2nd, it was ratified, July 4th, it was finalized, and July 8th, it was signed. But in that period of time, 247 years ago, this July 4th, we will celebrate the founding from 247 years ago of our country. And certainly we could look at our country and say this, well, it's not where it was, and it's not getting better. That's not to say we don't live in the greatest country on earth. I believe it. I've been to other places. I've seen the way other people live. So I'm not condemning America, the idea of it. But there is something that's very prevalent in this psalm that we need to get a hold of. First of all, the person who who needs to get a hold of it is the person that is seeking something more than their own righteousness. Because when we look at our own righteousness, we have to say before God, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It should begin to tire us that we look at ourselves more righteously than we actually are. In comparison to God's righteousness, we are not righteous. Secondly, it should help us to understand that this is not a problem that just happened under, and I'm going to be very plain here. If you don't like plainness, plug your ears. But this didn't happen under Joe Biden. Where we are is not because of Joe Biden. It is not because of Donald Trump. It is not because of any previous president. It is because we, ladies and gentlemen, are mankind. We are inherently evil, and we love what goes on in America. Otherwise, it wouldn't go on. And we can say that we don't. We can say, I would never do that. I would never do this. I would never, never's a long time, and it doesn't matter how committed you are. Your righteousness cannot hold you up. And so because of that, this is a problem that's long existed because of mankind. You can't blame it on the Democrats. You can't blame it on the Republicans. You can't blame it on the Tories. You can't blame it on the independents. You can't blame it on this group, that group. You can scream all you want, but the blame squarely falls upon this fact that we were born into a world of sin. And because of that, we are, hear me, incapable of ruling righteously. We are. I am. I can't look at a situation and judge it righteously, and neither can you. We will always err to the side that is best for us. That's exactly who we are. Well, that's what this psalm addresses. So the Bible says that God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Asaph is writing a song that's actually a message from God. And the message from God is that he is currently standing in judgment over the judges, over the leaders of the world. That's the congregation. They're the called out people that rule, the people who are supposed to be in charge. This is not the congregation. It is the congregation of Israel, but he's specifically pinpointing the congregation of the judges, those men who are gathered with power. He is the judge of judges. He is the God of gods. There is none else. And the interesting statement here is that he's standing. He's not afar off watching. He's actually standing in the middle of it watching. It is all around him. He sees everything. He is ever present. He sees the authority being misused. He sees the judges judging improperly. He sees statements made by those who would be judges. He sees all of that. He's not a God that's distant. He is a God that is ever present. He sees when evil is ignored. And so he says, in verse number 2, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? The idea here is that they're judging according to what's best for them unjustly instead of compared to justice. Isn't that what we all long for, is justice? That's what we should desire, real justice. Now, watch. Justice sometimes doesn't do us very good, because we're guilty of breaking whatever law we're being accused of. But justice is something that we all long for. No one likes to see anybody get away with murder. No one likes to see anybody treated differently because they have more money or because they're the president's son. That's not a joke. That's for reals. That's what's going on in our justice system. It's who you are, what you have to offer. It is not what you've done. And we can all say that many times we may have benefited from that kind of justice. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't, in other words, it's not necessarily wrong to exercise mercy. No, 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 that's not what he's saying. But when it comes to these criminals and to these actions, they were turning a blind eye. If you remember in the law, Moses told the men, the 70 elders that were chosen, not to take any gifts of any kind so that their eye would not be turned from making the right choice, the right decision. Not to be led aside by someone's position or power or their ability to make, to you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And if you think this is the worst time in history in America that this has happened, you are sadly mistaken. In the 40s, late 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, this government was run by a bunch of people who received graft. Because that's what man's justice is. Whatever makes, whatever's good for me. That's why Jesus told the disciples, don't go up, and the Pharisees, don't go up into the highest place, the highest room, but stay down. Don't give a party for people who can give you a party. You reach out to people who can't do anything for you. That's true ministry. Here, he says, how long will you accept these wicked people? This is God asking the question. How long will you overlook the sin? How long will it take for you to exercise justice? Now, the question is a rhetorical question because he's going to answer why this is this way later on in the psalm. But right now, the question, it's a great question to ask. How long are you going to overlook this? How long are you going to turn a blind eye? How long are you going to act like it didn't happen? We know this was very prevalent even in the church in the time of Paul when he wrote to the church at Corinth in chapters number 3 and chapter number 5. And he identifies the problem is that they are carnal. Their minds are carnal. They're thinking carnally. And so they're looking at things as normal that are not normal, that a man would have his father's wife as his own wife. And he says the Gentiles don't even do that. They don't even think that's right. Well, this is what's happening. How long will you turn a blind eye to it? How long will you rule unjustly? How long will you allow the wicked to succeed? Now, why does this matter? Well, oftentimes in our world, when we see things happening, we don't think that God knows or cares, don't we? We often say, why is God letting that happen? Why is God letting that happen? Well, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, God's mercy is long-suffering. He's very kind. He's waiting for people to turn. And he is asking this question, even though it's a rhetorical question, he is asking this question to get them to think. Think about why you're doing this. You know what? It would help us if we would stop and think about why we act or say or do what we do or act or what we say about things to people. Have you noticed that especially the younger generation that used to not be so brazen and vitriolic with people that are older than them now just scream at them? Well, when you let people get by with stuff long enough, you raise brats. And that's what we have. So God says, why are you doing this? And do you know that this cycle does not end? It continues to get worse and worse. As the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You let your children get by with something that you think is cute when they're 2. By the time they're 10, it's not going to be cute, and it's too late to do anything about it. Because you've established a habit. Oh, brother, don't tell me how to raise my children. How long will you judge unjustly? Do you want your children to grow up to be... Do you want them to grow up to be productive citizens of America? Because we don't have very many of those anymore. Why? Because we're unjust. This isn't an indictment against us that God is like surprised. It's just to let you know, God's standing. He sees the judgment. You don't need to meet it out. You don't need to be the person that it offends people. It's God's got it. He's standing. He's actually right here in the midst. Why? Because you and I are here, and the Holy Spirit of God is in us. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, so God is here right now. So He knows what's going on. He knows what the justice is. What is the solution? Well, the question is, how long will you do this? The solution is this: defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So the solution is, do your job. When it says defend the poor and the fatherless, it's not necessarily only talking about just orphans, but it's talking about people that cannot defend themselves. They have no ability to defend themselves. They're weak. They're people who they need to be defended. They need to be watched out for. They need to be cared for. This is not trying to produce a society of dependence. What it is it's the right thing for people. Well, in fact, the Bible uses this example in Galatians: you who are spiritual, go to such a one, someone who's fallen, someone who's in trouble. Why? To help them, to restore them. The idea here is that it's the responsibility of the judges and those people in charge to exercise proper justice and judgment so that they can defend those who are in need of defense. Those who would be people without any income. So he's in essence saying this: stop looking at what you can get and start doing your job. This is the way that God's justice is designed. You'll see over and over in the Psalms, we've read it several times. You'll see it many times in the prophecies as well, that God is going to rescue the poor. God is going to help the needy. God is going to judge righteously the fatherless. God is the one looking out for them, but believe it or not, that's the way He designed justice to be exercised. When you look at the Constitution of the United States, before it has been changed so drastically, because obviously those people back then couldn't possibly know what was going to happen now, so they could never foresee, and they didn't foresee some of this, because they would, right now they're shocked even hearing it, but it's man. So there needs to be a willingness to exercise justice and judgment, not for yourself, but for others. The verse number 4, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. The word rid means to take them out. Quit letting the wicked rule them. Watch, let me just give you one great human example of how we help people. Well, if they're going to do drugs, let's give them the stuff to do drugs with. That is the brightest idea ever foisted on the public. And right now, San Francisco is paying the price deeply. People will not go into San Francisco. I wouldn't. It could be the most beautiful city in the world. It's worse right now than Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Well, because the judges are giving... You go, well, Brother Ron, I don't think you should talk about current events. This is the America we live in. Listen to what John Adams said. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Morality and virtue are the foundation of our republic and necessary for a society to be free. Our founding fathers believed this, that it was not their job to enable wickedness, but it is our job to protect those who cannot willingly think, specifically children. If you want to be really specific, why are we doing and allowing children to do what they want the way we are now, because we live in a holy, unrighteous society and we are part of the problem. I don't like that. Yeah, neither do I. I don't like what they're doing. I'm not for it. But we're at the point now, there's nothing we can do about it. But over time, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Why? Because Christians benefited from unjust judgment, and therefore it continued to happen, and now it's worse and worse. Well, I'm not taking the blame. That's the problem. Not any generation has taken the blame. No one will step up and say, we're going to rid these people of their adversaries. Not that a village raises a child, but we're going to teach parents to teach their children. We're going to maintain standards in the church so at least the people in the church can raise their children with some semblance of normalcy according to the Bible and God's righteousness. No. We teach our children that church is an option. It's not needed. Oh, why are you? Because if we're not moral and we don't lean toward righteousness, this will no longer be a free America. And you can see the handwriting on the wall. Many, many Tikal Upharsin. You've been weighed, you've been found short and wanting, and tonight, Brother Ryan, I don't believe America's going to ever fall in my lifetime. If you'd asked me whenever I was 30 years old if I thought that, I would say, oh, I don't know. It'd probably be, I don't know, I have no idea. If you'd asked me if we had 40 more years and Jesus was to come, I'd say, no. Now I can tell you right now, Jesus can come at any moment and America can fall at any moment. Are you kidding me? Why? Because we've not maintained really something simple even in the church, morality. Religious people. People who are different because they believe the Bible, they practice the Bible, they live their lives according to the Bible. Their thoughts, their minds are driven by the Bible. I'm not talking about religion, a Baptist, somebody getting up and telling you how to believe. I'm talking about you believe because you do what this says. I do what this says. That's the solution. But then, here's the reality that's addressed, or the warning. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The warning is this. The more you lean this way, the worse it's going to get, to where things that were normal and belonged in a certain place no longer belong in that place. They cannot find a place. The use of the words, the foundations of the earth are out of course, it's as if there's been a paradigm shift and nothing is the way it should be. And so what we need to realize here is that God did not design, He did not give America these freedoms, He did not give Israel these freedoms and the right to worship and to do what they're supposed to do. He didn't give them the freedoms to act like they wanted to act. He gave them the freedoms to follow Him and glorify Him and praise Him. They took it as we have and they became lax in their exercising of judgment. They began to overlook wickedness and their morality went out the window. They began to worship false gods. And does any of this sound familiar from 247 years ago? Now you can't get people to agree that the founding fathers actually believed the Bible. There's no defense of real freedom. Real freedom is not doing what you want. Real freedom is doing what you are allowed to do within the parameters of society that is reasonable according to the scriptures. Well, that's exactly right. Well, the Bible gives us plenty of direction on how we're supposed to maintain morality in our Christian lives. How are we doing with that? Nobody's willing to take responsibility. So here's what's going to happen. The world is shifting faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. It's here. It's upon us. The world has shifted dramatically. And it didn't start with a president. It started with people that were supposed to be moral and religious starting to live like the world. Well, can you use an example of that? Well, that's what I'm talking about. In the text, it was Israel. God put them in the land, said, don't do what the other people did. They're being kicked out of the land because of this, this, and this. And he enumerated everything. I mean, word for word enumerated it. They went in and they did exactly the opposite of what he said right away in Judges. Right away. The morality they were supposed to exercise, they did not. Each man, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's amazing that God allowed the writer to put in there because there was no king in the land. So when they got a king in 1 Samuel, Samuel said, you need to know your king is going to do this, 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 and this. And if the king sins, the whole nation's going to be responsible for it. By the time you get to Jeremiah, the kings have done this, 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 and this, and whatever they wanted. And guess what? My people love to have it so. There's nothing new under the sun. This has all happened before. We are living that life. Whether you're upset about it or not, the truth is we want justice. What's going on, forcing children to do, it's absolutely wrong. There's no morals. Parents should not be allowed to take their children to places they're going right now. It used to be illegal. Now it's not. Suddenly it's not. They can be in a bar if there's this activity going on. You've got to be kidding me. When was the bar ever right for them? It's worked out for all the Christian people who go. Why? Your morality moving that way is just part of the process of the entire foundation of the earth shifting. So he says this in verse number 6, I have said to your gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. He told the children of Israel that they were different. He said, because you belong to me, several times he says it, be ye holy as I am holy. Because I am the Lord your God, be ye holy as I am holy. Reading through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy again on my journey through the scriptures. And I love it because this time I've heard it more than I even thought it was in there. I am the Lord thy God. You're supposed to be different. I say you are my people. Because you are my people, then I say that you are the children of the Most High. You're the child of the Creator. You're the child that has been taken from darkness to light. Just like we just heard in that song. When the blood is applied, you go from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light in Jesus Christ and His dear Son. We're supposed to be as different as dark and light. How can we achieve? After all the warning, I mean, we're going to die as the princes. We're going to be treated like one of those who's not judging correctly, even though we're not even part of it. Don't believe that all of the children of Israel were involved in all the bad choices. I don't think they all were, just as many people in America are not involved in all the bad choices. If you think the choices this government has made in the last few years, I don't even know where to start the number. But if you think that all the choices that have been made in the last few years by your favorite president, you can take their best choices and still they were all predicated around what was good for their political well-being. What was good for their party. You can argue that until the day is long, but the truth is, every one of them exercised judgment or justice in a way at some point that overlooked wickedness. Trying to help. A lot of that goes on, trying to help mankind. Well, what is it that we need? Well, what we need is to realize, first of all, mankind is never going to judge righteously. I know as a person who likes things, in fact, I've been accused and been told by several people talking to them about salvation, you just think it's all that simple. You think it's their words, black and white. Well, yeah, it is. Because in God, there is no darkness at all. That's not Ron Jones. That's not even my interpretation. I don't know how to interpret it. In God is no darkness at all. That's what the Bible says. Well, what does that mean? Darkness is not light. Why do men love darkness? Because their deeds are evil. Well, okay, I like things orderly. Things done according to the Bible is absolutely right every time, which means if you're exercising justice, you're exercising it with mercy according to the Bible, not according to the way you think somebody should be judged. Well, if it was me, I would. It's not you. You don't get to choose. It's already been chosen. Kindness, mercy. Well, I would never do that. Yeah, don't say never. Well, what do I do? Well, there's only one thing to do, and that's rest in the fact that God is the righteous judge. Every nation is going to be His. He's going to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. In the book of the Revelation, when Jesus comes, He judges with a rod of iron. Do you know what's going to bring about justice in the world? A rod of iron. Isn't that kind of... So God gave us mercy and grace, and He gave us His Word, and the only thing that's going to cause justice to be exercised on the earth is a rod of iron. You know why? It's interesting. I looked up, why did they use rod of iron? Because that was the only material believed at the time that was unflappable. You couldn't bend it. You couldn't make it yield to... Once it was hardened, you could not make it yield to what you wanted. I like to watch Forged in Fire. And if they quench too early, you can't go back and change anything when it comes to steel. When Jesus comes, there will be no yielding. What He says will happen. When He says it, it will happen. If it doesn't happen, judgment is exercised. There will be no more excuse for rampant sin, because it will be judged immediately. And haven't we often said among ourselves, boy, if God judged right away, I would have never have done that. When the truth is, even when judgment was like that, because there was a period of time in the world when it was like that for a little bit of time, or it was exercised that way. In fact, they have it in Middle Eastern countries, especially the Muslim countries, where if a person steals, they get their hand cut off. Still, they steal. Why? Well, because we can't judge righteously. We're incapable. We're blind. We're in darkness. We can't see what is right because we base what is right according to what we get out of it. You know who doesn't do that? God. One day, God's going to exercise righteous judgment. So don't expect it to happen now, because it's not going to. There's no one we're going to be able to get to take the righteous judgment side, and they're going to exercise it. In fact, I will say this for the former president. At least he did what he said he was going to do. But it wasn't received, was it? You know why? Because we live in a dark world. That's not what's going to change things. What's going to change things is Jesus Christ. What we need to be doing and what the children of Israel were supposed to be doing was teaching people about the Creator, not the little G-O-Ds. That's why he kept saying to them, stop worshiping false gods. I am the Lord thy God that led thee out of the land of Egypt. And he reminds them over and over and over again, all through the Old Testament, I'm the one who did the miracles. I'm the one who brought you out. I'm the one who fed you manna. He doesn't say you did it. I'm the one, and still you depend on yourselves. We've got to quit depending on ourselves and trying to depend on someone to rescue us and start praying and asking God to make us effective witnesses to tell people about God's glory and who God is and what he's provided in Jesus Christ, because the only solution for this problem is Jesus Christ. And even then, think about it. You as a Christian, think of this. Think about it. Have you done everything the Bible says? Have you responded and obeyed every time the Bible says to do it? Oh no, we're going to do it. Kids, why are we doing it? Well, because the Bible says. Well, why do we do it? Well, because the Bible says that's what we're supposed to do. Well, are you always going to believe the Bible? Yes, as long as you live in this house, we're going to do what the Bible says. Is it the Bible's fault? No, it's the right thing to do. It's not an excuse. We're going to do it because the Bible says this is the way we're supposed to do it. We're going to act this way because this is what the Bible says. There's no enforcing it. It's just simply doing what you're supposed to do. It's obedience. And you should know that one day, this kind of turning a blind eye to justice will be all gone. But don't get angry and quit because it's not happening now, because it wasn't happening here. And it didn't happen before here. And it's not going to happen until we get to heaven. We've got to quit depending on ourselves and start believing that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And diligently seeking means that we are consistently adding to our faith, and we are consistently growing in grace so that we can be the example, according to 1 Peter. So instead of being the example, we're usually not the example. We're usually like, don't do what I say, do what you're supposed to do. Well, none of us are perfect, but we do need to live a different life than the world lives. So when you're looking for judgment and justice, know this: God is watching. He sees. He's given the solution: judge right according to truth. Quit turning away from the wicked. Be aware that there's a consequence for not doing it. And we are experiencing that right now. My grandchildren will not grow up in the same America I did. In fact, right now, this is not the America I grew up in. And I'm not mad at America. Sadly, we all have marched down this path so much that many of the things going on now, watch, as long as it doesn't affect me or my family, it's fine. That's not true. Well, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not talking about going down and marching or getting in people's faces and screaming. I'm talking about it does matter, and those people need Jesus. We have some pictures of our grandchildren in their fit pitching moments. How many of you have grandchildren that ever pitch a fit occasionally? They get a dark cloud that comes over their face, and they start looking at you. You start looking at them and going, pitch. That's weak sauce right there. The kid goes, and you say, you're going to do this? We have pictures of just dark clouds. Anger. You're telling me what to do? Yeah, not only am I telling you what to do, but I'm telling you if you don't do it, there's going to be consequences. Why? Because here's what we did. People started looking mean and we started going, oh, I don't want to offend them. What if they turn from Jesus? Right is right, no matter who's doing it. Even as a grandparent, you let your grandchildren get away with murder, they'll go all the way to murder. No, yeah, they're wicked. See, if you allow things to shift, they'll shift. We're supposed to be on a firm foundation, established, settled. There's only one way to do that. Quit acting with our emotion and start responding with truth and righteousness and real justice. And remember, God's justice is merciful, otherwise we wouldn't be here. But whatever you do, don't get mad because it's not going to get better. It's gotten worse since the beginning of sin, and it is only going to get worse. So it's time to at least you be the person that takes the stand. You be the person who exercises justice and judgment, because you need to know that God is standing right next to you, watching, and sees it all. He's a very near God. He's not a hands-off God. He's right there and will one day exercise pure, righteous judgment again. The song we heard this morning was all about God exercising pure, righteous judgment on the world's sin. The next judgment will not be full of grace. It will be very, very final. We have a God that rules righteously. Do you walk that way? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.